that was always a big one. It's like, I'm gonna find out. You know, like I can believe that I can't do this. But the only way I'm gonna know is if I do it and I give it everything that I have. Then at least I know the answer. It might be that you can't do this. That's okay. But I know. I'd rather know than wonder.
Welcome to the Science of Building Champions podcast, where your host, Don Heatrick, chats with top-level fighters and coaches, diving into their stories to discover what makes champions.
Today, I'm honored to speak with Kevin Ross, the Soul Assassin, former Lion Fight World Champion, WBC International Champion and USA National Champion, United States Muay Thai Federation Champion, WMC Intercontinental Champion, and voted North American Fighter of the Year. Thank you for joining me today, Kevin.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Don.
No problem. I mean, I mentioned a few of your titles there, but there's a lot more to your story than just shiny belts. You know, there's been a lot that's gone on for you. I mean, you're a pioneer in American Muay Thai, and I think everybody must have seen that photo of you in the Mongkon, bowing on the floor with your outstretched tattooed knuckles spelling out the word Muay Thai. But I kind of don't want to jump the gun there. You've had some huge struggles, and originally you never actually saw yourself as a fighter at all. So how did you get started in Muay Thai?
Yeah, it's interesting story, because I hated violence growing up. You know, it really intrigued me. I had a lot of friends that were always fighting and stuff, but I didn't like it. And really, it upset me, because it always seemed to be coming from a place of anger, from hurt, that kind of thing, where I enjoyed the competitive aspect of like boxing and things like that. But with people like fighting in the streets, and I never really liked it, although there was something about it I was drawn to, just something about that expression of emotion and the violence and the physicality of it. So I never thought about fighting, but I was always intrigued by boxing, and it always sparked my interest about how you have just these two people in the ring with all these people watching, and they're fighting. You know, you can't even compare it to what you see like in the streets and stuff. And there was just something so unique about it. And I always loved martial arts. You know, Bruce Lee was always a big hero of mine as a kid. But I'd never seen any fighting that really piqued my interest, like a martial arts that was like boxing. You know, the only thing you would see is like point sparring or forms and that kind of thing, which, you know, I think that is really beautiful to watch, and you know, there's all kinds of levels to that. But I thought about fighting, and there was nothing that gave me that same feeling of watching boxing. And then one day in 1994, I was watching ESPN at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and a Muay Thai fight came on, and I was just blown away from the second that they started fighting. I'd never seen anything like that ever in my life. And I knew that if I ever wanted to do this, like, that's what I was going to do. But I didn't even really consider it serious. You know, I didn't think I'd ever actually do it. It was just, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do that. And then I just put it in the back of my mind and never really thought about it again. Anytime I'd see a fight, I would remind me about that. But I'd forget about it, like, you know, go back to living my life, which at the time I was just drinking and partying and living in Vegas and growing up in that kind of scene and really bad. I was in a really bad place for a really long time. And you know, I always had that desire to do this in the back of my mind, was always kind of calling to me, like, you want to do that. But I knew if I was going to do it, I would need to give up everything that I was doing. I'd need to stop drinking, stop partying, you know, get focused. And I've always been someone that, like, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it all the way, or I'm not going to do it at all. I didn't want to kind of do it and just play around with it. So I knew I would have to, like, really cut all that out of my life, and I wasn't ready to do that. But through a series of events and a few years of really bad times, it was like life was telling me that if you don't straighten out, you're not going to make it out of here. And, you know, I finally had just a wake up call one day and realized how much of my life I was wasting, not going after this thing that I was scared of. I mean, I was 20. Well, when I first saw it, I was 14. And then the first time I actually went to the gym and talked to the trainers about possibly doing it, I was 18. But even then, I felt like I was too old to start. You know, I felt like, you know, you can't make it anywhere starting this late, you know, and that was 18. But then like 23 comes around and, you know, what I realized was I was just using excuses not to try something because I was afraid of failure, afraid of what if, afraid of all these things. And, you know, through that series of really bad events and losing friends and stuff, I realized like none of that matters. You know, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You know, no one knows what's going to happen unless you try and give it your all. So I decided to give up drinking, turn my life around and get in the gym.
Wow. And that you went straight to Muay Thai as well. You weren't doing any kind of other sports.
I've always done, I did sports my whole life, you know, baseball, basketball, football. I was always very athletic. I just hated team sports. I hated them so much because it was always about, I can dedicate my life to this, but I have to worry about the guy next to me maybe not caring about it as much, or you know, it was always that you're so reliant on other people where it doesn't even matter how hard I work or how little I work because there's all these other aspects of it. And I always hated that team aspect of sports, although I loved competition a lot. I was always drawn to competition, but I never really couldn't get on board with the whole team aspect and like the way of athletics in high school, like the hierarchy of the social status and stuff. It just always bothered me a lot, you know, so I was always kind of going the other way. I didn't want anything to do with it.
And I think it's to do with being an introvert as well, as to which kind of sports you're drawn to. I mean, I guess some introverts might enjoy hiding amongst a team because
that's true.
There's an element to that you know, on the day you're not shining, someone's going to carry it for you.
My mom thinks it's hilarious because because I was always very shy person and an introvert, and she's like, now you're doing something where it's just you in there. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. I didn't really think about it at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean you are literally up on a stage, aren't you? That's what happens when you compete. Was that kind of side of things in your mind when you started training then? Because I know for me personally, I'm quite naturally introverted. That's the way I am. I enjoyed the training and I kind of got to the stage where I wanted to compete just to see how far I could take it and to really test myself. But the idea of getting up in front of everybody was not the fun part. It was, I enjoyed the training and the work. I liked it after the fight. But the idea of actually getting in the ring in front of everybody was something that did rub my fur the wrong way, but I did it because I wanted the challenge.
Yeah, I don't know. I think for me, because once I made this decision to go after this, I had to turn off all those previous fears and doubts and discomforts. You know, I had to get comfortable being uncomfortable. I had to get comfortable with pain and fear. And so it's almost that I like shut that out of my mind. Not that they're not there, I just recognize them and it doesn't matter. Like, I'm going forward anyway. I'm doing this anyway. That's just a byproduct of this. Like, yeah, there's people watching, there's all these other things, but this is my focus, this is my concern. And yeah, it was also, you know, a progressive thing. You know, you start on a, it's not like the first fight was 10,000 people, it was in a gym. So I'm sure that played a role. And, you know, when you're so focused on the fight, I'm not like everything else is really blacked out until you progress more and fighting more and you get more comfortable in there. And then that becomes more of a factor. But for me, I actually, ironically, I enjoy it more. The bigger the crowd is, the bigger the pressure is, the harder the fight is. I feel more comfortable the more extreme the circumstances are.
That's interesting. So how?
Yeah, I don't know.
I was going to say, is there any sort of handle you've got on that? How that's come about, or why you feel that way about it?
I think it has to have something to do with like my rebellious nature of when people say you can't do something, for me it's like I'm going to do it. I'm going to show you I can do it. So I actually had to have this conversation with my last coach because he would say things like, don't do this or don't do that. But like my mind naturally goes, I'm going to do it anyway, just because you told me not to do it. Like, I'm going to show you how I'm going to do it. So I was like, you have to tell me whatever the opposite is in a positive way, like do the more of this, not don't do this. So I think like all those elements, I think play into how I feel about fighting and stuff. It's almost about proving to myself that I can do things that I don't necessarily want to do, or that I am afraid of, or that I don't like. It encourages me and motivates me to do it more, as opposed to shy away from it. It's like anything I'm scared of, I want to do it more. Anything that I don't like, that's to me, that's telling me you need to do this, because this is the path to improving yourself.
Yeah. And you say about a path as well, because you're originally saying, you know, there was drink and then addiction and all this kind of side mm-hmm. to your life initially, and kind of Muay Thai brought you away from that. It gave you, well, a purpose to, I guess, to apply yourself, but also a reason why literally those things were not going to help you be a better fighter. Yeah. They were sabotaging you. How did that happen? Was that literally all within you that you decided this stuff's got to go, I'm applying myself here? Or was it the interest was there in Muay Thai and the coaches were saying this needs to be removed?
No. Because I had to make those decisions before I started. So it wasn't that once I started, I was still messing around a little bit and partying a little bit. Like, I stopped completely. The day I started, I never did it again. I just completely stopped. But I think it was, for me, it was the knowledge of that. One, starting so late in life, you know, I didn't step foot into the gym until I was 23. And I knew how much time I had wasted, that everything I was doing had to be geared towards getting better and making up for lost time. I couldn't take days off. I couldn't relax. I couldn't go party and hang out with friends. I couldn't have a fight and then screw off for weeks on end. And you know, like a lot of people do, because I knew how far behind I was from starting so late. And I knew how far behind I was from reaching the level of people I wanted to be at. You know, I wanted to be able to compete and be with the best. And I was like, that's impossible. So no matter what, I need to be sprinting towards that goal, because I'm never going to reach it anyway. I can't do anything that's going to hold me back. So it was a very clear information for me. It wasn't even ever a debate in my mind. It was like, if you want to do this, this is the way to do it. You can't do anything over here. It's not even a choice, or maybe I'm going to kind of do it sometimes. It was a black and a white issue for me.
And you started off really strong in your training in terms of, it was with, was it Master Toddy's in Vegas? Is that where you literally started?
Yeah.
Training?
So it was with, it was with his trainers. I actually didn't start working with him specifically till probably about a year or two into training, but with his trainers. I mean, he had three schools at the time, so there was different locations, different, but they were all Thais and all from Thailand. So yeah, I was very fortunate in that sense to get very authentic training and that old school discipline focused on technique and those fundamentals. You know, I had that stuff hammered into my head from day one, so I was very fortunate, because I didn't know any better anyway. You know, I really lucked out when it comes to that.
Yeah. And I'd love to know, you know, why Muay Thai more specifically? I mean, you said about, you know, the draw of other martial arts at the time, and mm-hmm. I guess they would. I know for me personally, I could see all these other martial arts, but they weren't really truly full contact. And you've kind of alluded to that as well. And is that what it was that drew you to Muay Thai?
Something about that, you know, is really for me, there's just something about Muay Thai. It's so brutal and violent, yet it's so beautiful and artistic. And you know, I think all combat arts have those elements, but for me, Muay Thai is just like the purest representation of that. And I don't know. I don't know what it is. I mean, why are we all drawn to different things? I don't really know. But for me, it sets it apart from anything else. You know, I love fighting at all. Like, if I can't do Muay Thai, I'll do any kind of fighting there is, even if it's like fencing or something. But Muay Thai is just night and day different for me than anything else. You know, I've competed in all kinds of different combat arts, but nothing could come close to that.
I think there's a like you mentioned that sort of purity. It's almost like there's a that natural evolution and selection of the tools you use because of the rule sets you fight under. It kind of it sheds all the stuff that just isn't effective. And I think that's
I think so, yeah.
Muay Thai fighters, Thai boxers, we're kind of drawn to, you know, there's no wasted effort. It's all about effect. And we just recognize it in there. The rule set has distilled it down to that, and that's what we've got. And so that's kind of what you appreciated about Muay Thai at the start. Has that changed over the years now? You know, since you started back, was it 2003 or something? Has what you appreciate about Muay Thai changed? Is there anything extra?
No. I mean, it's always been that. I think I appreciate it even more so now when I do see, you know, MMA coming up and these other arts, and just the kind of the way they train, and you know, the focus and drive, and a lot of it too is being able to go to Thailand and see what it means to the people there and the culture, because it's so much more than just the ring sport itself. It's the culture and the history behind it, and the mindset, and all of those things are very. Tend to be very unique to Muay Thai. Not just, I mean, I think all fighting arts have certain elements that translate between all of them, but I don't know, there's just something different about Muay Thai and Muay Thai fighters that you can't really explain.
It's a funny one. I still remember the first time I went to Thailand as well, and because it is predominantly a Buddhist country, isn't it? And a lot of the traditional aspects that we have in Muay Thai with the Ram Muay and the Y crew sealing the ring, all this kind of stuff, it sort of boils back to that side of it. But I remember I had a client here in the UK who was, she was joining a Buddhist community here in the UK. So I'm not religious at all. I kind of respect them all. I love the way the Buddhist side of it works in with Muay Thai. And she was having a mitra ceremony, and she invited me along to it. And they were all Buddhists there, and I was introduced to as, you know, the Muay Thai fighter. You know, like you do, don't you? There's like the fitness freak and all the rest of it, and then there's the weird fighter. But they really couldn't understand how a Buddhist country could fight like that with elbows and knees, and they're looking to knock each other out. It's like, how does that fit together? And I thought that was fascinating how they couldn't get that. Have you got a take on that, how those work together?
It is really interesting, but that's kind of the thing too, like when you meet a lot of, like, the perception of fighters is very different than reality, because what you see in the ring tends to be the opposite of how a lot of them are, very respectful, very humble, to a degree, even more so in Thailand. But I think that's much more of a cultural thing as far as how they carry themselves and all that. I don't know. I think it's almost as if the ring allows you to let all that stuff out, all that aggression and violence, and then you know, the opposite of that is just peaceful, calm. And that's how I feel too, because training is so intense and fighting, and there's all this violence and aggression and energy. When I'm not doing that, I don't want to do anything. I'm just here. I want to be at peace. I want it to be quiet. I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to do anything. I just want to relax. So I think you kind of need those things to balance each other out. So maybe that has something to do with it, because it's like the more violent that is, the calmer you need to be over here, because you can't maintain that all the time, that high output, that high energy, that high aggression. That'll just burn you out.
And I think there's, with Muay Thai fighters in general, people that achieve a level in a sport, but I think fighters in particular, and Muay Thai is really good examples, the people that achieve to a high level seem to have proven themselves to themselves. They don't feel they need to prove themselves to other people. So there is that sort of humility to them. I find the higher the level the fighter, the kind of better person they tend to be. It's all the people starting out that are kind of, well, I guess trying to fake it till they make it, really, and act tough rather than sort of being confident in themselves. And I think Muay Thai is a great vehicle for that. And it certainly sounds like, you know, it's been a real developmental tool for you personally, hasn't it?
Oh, for sure. Without question. It's everything in my life I feel is really based in the lessons I've learned through and developed through this art. You know, it's not just a ring tool. It's really a life tool, and it instills so many things in you that the world tends to not do, and that's very needed in this world and in this life that are important. I think just athletics in general do that, or really anything that requires discipline. You know, it doesn't have to be athletics. You can play chess, and anything that requires extreme discipline. I think even more so in the fighting arts, because you're talking about life and death and injuries and someone else trying to hurt you. So you're really forced to face those things and to be much more dialed in and focused because of that element of danger.
I think that having a consequence to anything just makes it a learning experience, doesn't it? And there's a big consequence to not having put in the work in a Muay Thai fight and getting up there in front of everybody. That's an interesting one. And those habits, like you say, that you have, that you develop in your training, whether you do face up to the hard things, or whether you back away and just kind of shy away from them, it becomes a habit outside of fighting, doesn't it? And that's why it kind of feeds into life as well. And I think everybody's got a different level on how far they need to push with that to learn those lessons. And people that are drawn to Muay Thai need that kind of extreme end of it. They kind of, that's what is the teaching tool for them.
Yeah.
Moving away from fighting now as well into coaching. So how have you found that transition?
It's been interesting. You know, I've been, I would say, teaching for a long time now. I think I've been kind of finding what I like and what I don't like. I really do enjoy helping people develop and learn, and they don't necessarily have to be fighters, although that's, I guess, more relevant to what I do, because I know the process of everything. But really, for me, it's just about teaching anybody that has the drive and the passion to do this, that loves this sport, whether it's for fighting or fitness or anything else. I really enjoy helping people along that journey. What I don't like to do is to waste my time where they could get the same thing out of somebody that doesn't even know what they're doing. I'm like, why am I wasting my time? So I think that's what will kind of keep me from ever wanting to really open up a school or anything like that. Although that might happen down the road, just not right now. Right now, I'm very specific about who I train, when I train them, who I'm working with. You know, and I really enjoy watching the people develop in that process. It's been interesting. So much of, for me, I never really thought about the process of learning a lot of these things, because I was taught by Ties, who's just repetition, just do it and you're going to figure it out. You know, it's not, especially with the language barrier as well, they're not describing how you do each technique and the adjustments you need to make. It's just do it a million times and eventually you're going to figure out how to do it right. So when I first started teaching, I tried to instruct in the same way, just do it. I don't know, just kick, just kick. And then that forced me to recognize the process. You know, I'm like, well, there's all these steps along the way that you actually have to do. And that helped me to also to recognize how to improve certain things in myself, just by understanding the process of this chain of events, that like one technique is this long chain of events of balance and weight distribution and timing and rhythm and placement and all of these elements to it. You know, it allows you to put them under a microscope, particularly when you're watching somebody else do it and you can see all those minute details. You know, it can be very helpful. It can also be very detrimental, because it's like, the best thing you can do is watch really great people, because you absorb it visually. But the same thing happens on the flip end of that, watching people that aren't very good. You might not recognize it, especially if you're not being aware of it, that you might start doing those things just by seeing it so many times.
Yes.
That was one thing Toddy was really strict about, is like not training each other, making sure you're always watching high level stuff. Like what you're focused on and paying attention to should be above you, not lower, unless you're trying to pay attention what not to do, because we absorb so much that we're not even aware of. We're absorbing things all the time, what we hear, what we see, and this is so relevant to life too. It's just like what you're surrounded by, you know, how you get better, anything. Like surround yourself by better people than you, and people that encourage you to raise your level, whatever that is, as opposed to bringing you down and weighing you down and negativity and those kinds of aspects. You know, that's where like everything in fighting translates to life.
And it's those like mirror neurons, isn't it? So when you're kind of perceiving things, your body's kind of somatically taking that on and creating those patterns. It's interesting that you mention about not kind of exposing yourself to too many negative patterns that way as well. But you must have found that you having to break things down more than you perhaps had to learn them yourself actually enhanced your knowledge that way as well of a lot of the techniques.
Yeah, really. If it forces you to put everything under a microscope. So like for myself, like there's a lot of things that I do that I don't really necessarily understand how I do them, like the steps to how I do them. I can do them, you know, because I'm a very much a visual learner. Like if I see somebody do something, I can replicate it and do it. And then just by repetition, instinctually, I learn how to do it, but I might not be able to translate that to somebody else and say, put your foot here, put your weight here. And by coaching, I have to be able to put it in that context of how to describe it to somebody, like where everything needs to be, when they need to be there, how the rotation works. And, you know, that's been a beneficial thing from teaching for me.
Yeah. And what's kept you going all these years, despite all the challenges in Muay Thai?
I guess my hard-headedness, I think. But, you know, I've always been motivated by all those years I felt like I wasted in life. You know, I feel like I wasted half my life, and everything from when I turned it around to now has been trying to make up for lost time. So even in the really difficult times, you know, I just viewed it as another hurdle instead of something that's going to stop me. you know. And even if it does stop me, I'm not gonna let it stop me just because it feels that way. I'm still gonna do everything I can to push through it and see where it goes. I'm not gonna let something like an injury or a loss or anything. I don't view that as I try to view everything as fuel. It's just a matter of how you use it. You know, you can use a negative as fuel, just like you can use a positive as fuel, and vice versa. You can use a positive to weigh you down just as much as you can use a negative to weigh you down. There, I feel like events in our life don't necessarily have feelings to them. Like we're the ones that give them feelings. Like this thing can happen to this person and they use it negatively, and the exact same thing can happen to this person and they use it to benefit themselves. That's a choice that we make. And the more I've recognized that, anytime something negative happens, or just unfortunate happens, or you know, when I have a loss or a bad day or an injury, to me it's almost as if someone's asking me a question like, "How bad do you want to do this? You still want to do this, even though this is happening? You're gonna have to prove it." All right, there you go. And that's, for me, that's always how I kind of view any hardship, as it's a question. These events are questions. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to quit? Or are you going to keep going?
Yeah.
You got two choices.
Yeah. And it's, I'd love to know, I mean, leading on from that, it's, we're kind of leading into what traits you feel make a champion. What characteristics make a champion? You're kind of tipping into it there, but can you expand on that a bit more on what you feel does make up a champion?
I think that, so I think we tend to always view people, like successful people, as they have some element that you're born with and only they can do it, where we're all born with different elements. It's only a matter of what you're doing to make up for the elements that you're missing. Like, so you have some people that are very naturally gifted, but they might not have work ethic. And then you have people that are not naturally gifted and they have more work ethic because they got to make up for their lack of talent. And then if you can have somebody that has both, that's where you get like the Sanchez and the Mayweathers and that, because they have both those elements. Where, you know, you tend to either have one or the other. And usually when somebody has one, they don't focus on the rest. So it's really just a matter of what you're willing to do, what you're willing to go through, and what you're willing to give up in order to be successful. And every one of the path is different for all of us. So it's so easy to say, well, yeah, but you don't have to deal with this. You don't have to deal with this. But anybody can say that. I could say that to you, just like you could say that to me. Those elements don't aren't meaningful. Like, just because this happens doesn't mean you can't be successful. You know, if you go back, this is why I really love to read people's biographies and autobiographies, because we always see the end of the path, the success, but we don't see what people had to go through to get there. And if you actually go back and learn about people's stories and their histories, you see how impossible it was, how much they had to face, how much they had to overcome, even if you view them as, oh, well, they were just gifted, they were just lucky, they just had the right look, they were born in the right place. And when you really learn about it, you're like, oh my gosh, like you can't even imagine what that person went through in order to be successful, even if they were born with every element you could possibly want. Like, that alone doesn't equate to success. You have to, we all have a test that we have to face. My buddy Eddie always had a good saying. It was, everybody's got to pay their dues, but you never know when, what dues you're going to have to pay and when they're coming up. So we always view somebody else's, be like, oh, I could pay those dues. Be like, yeah, you could, but your dues are going to be the things you don't want to give up, the things you don't want to go through. And that's what I think we fail to recognize a lot. We look at somebody else's struggle and it might seem easy for us. Like, oh, all you had to do was work hard, or all you had to do was face this fear of public or whatever. But it's usually the things you don't want to deal with, the things you don't want to face and the things you don't want to give up that you have to do in order to be successful. It's rarely it's the stuff you want to do, you know, or the stuff that you're good at. You know, it's usually the things you're terrible at that if you want to really do something, it's probably going to be the hardest thing ever because it's not something maybe you're naturally inclined to.
And I've found that when you speak to people that are successful at something, you can, like you say, assume that they're successful because everything went right. But actually, when you speak to them and they honestly open up, then you find out there was a ton of struggle. And actually, them being capable of overcoming the struggle is why they're successful. It's never plain sailing. The grass is always greener, and there are excuses you can put in place. They had this, they achieved that, and I don't have this, therefore I can't. But it's the person, isn't it? The mindset that makes the biggest difference.
And I was going to say what the one thing I don't know if it's unfortunate or fortunate, what we don't think about is those things never end. Like you're going to overcome one thing, and then next time is going to be something different, and next time is going to be something different. That's why you just have to make a decision. Like, I'm going to do this regardless, you know, because it's just like it is viewing somebody else. Like, oh, I could overcome that. Well, so I use this as an example. So I blew my knee out back in whenever the hell that was, 7 years ago. And you would think that having something so drastic like that, that something minor, like I broke my thumb last year, you'd think that wouldn't be comparable. Like, oh, you blew your knee out. Like, that's easy. Like, this is nothing. But this was, I don't want to say just as devastating, but it was just different. It was so different. And it was difficult in very different ways. You know, it was later in my journey. It was such a minor thing, but it was so bad that I couldn't use it, you know? And so because of it was so minor, but also major, it was just another lesson that I had to learn. Like, just because you know how to deal with something drastic doesn't mean something small isn't just as bad, if not worse. So these lessons never end. It's just a matter of understanding that and applying kind of the same process. Like, this thing happens, what are you gonna do about it? You're gonna work through it, you're gonna get stronger, you're gonna get better, or you're gonna let it break you and drop you down.
It's a matter of scale, isn't it? It's the same. The same lessons are dealt at various different levels of scale, and actually probably your response is the same as well, regardless of scale. I think that's something that Muay Thai and training in general is really good at exposing, what those habits are for you, whether you do back down from things, what are the bits you gloss over and overlook, what are the things you do pay attention to, how do you respond to that? What would you say were your biggest challenges then, and what have you learned from them?
Oh man, there's been so many.
Normally when I ask this question, people are having to dig deep a bit to think of something, but I know for you, you're kind of like, which one do I pick? I know you've had struggles.
Yeah. I've been in this sport for so long that there really has been so many. You know, a lot in the beginning was, should I keep going in this sport or should I switch to something else? Because Muay Thai was like people didn't know what it was. It was non-existent, particularly here in the States. There was no fights. There was no events. There was no publicity. It wasn't on TV. And, you know, I went through probably about a 2-year span where I couldn't get fights to save my life. Like, I could not get a fight. I didn't matter how much weight I gave up. It didn't matter who I begged. I just could not get any fights. So all my friends that I trained with, they're all fighting in the UFC and WEC and all these big MMA promotions. And so they're all fighting and everyone's doing MMA. And they're like, why don't you just do MMA? Like, I don't understand why you don't do it. But I had that same problem where it's like, if I'm going to do it, I'm stopping Muay Thai and I'm going to give everything I have to MMA. Like, I don't want to do both. I don't want to be half good at Muay Thai in order to be half good at MMA. I'm not going to do that. If I'm going to go, I'm like, all right, let's go all the way. And I just wasn't ready to give up. You know, I wasn't ready to stop. So it was going into 2009 or 2010. It was my New Year's resolution. I was like, I'm going to give Muay Thai one more year. I'm going to push it as hard as I can. If by the end of the year, things haven't picked up, all right, I'm going to switch, because I'd rather do any fighting than no fighting. So that was kind of the thing for me. And then fortunately, like, I think it was 10 days, January 10th, I got a call to fight for the WBC title in like 2 weeks notice in China. I was like, yeah, all right, let's go. And, you know, things progressed from there. And I won like 3 titles that year. And, you know, I was fortunate that things did pick up. But that's been a kind of a constant struggle and battle, is how long do I keep pushing this? And then, like, what do I do once you get to a certain point? You know, and that's where I started doing Bellator. And I signed with them. That was just, it was kind of just the right time. And it was just a new element of fighting. It was almost like having to learn a lot of things all over again, or start a new path. It was just, you know, I'll never give up Muay Thai. But it was just another aspect of the game that I was able to keep going with. And, you know, I think that's the tough thing now, is especially at this stage of my career, is how long to keep doing it and what to do. Like I can go, maybe I can go get these fights over here, but it's not Muay Thai, and it's not like how to distinguish between what I'm doing out of my passion, what I'm doing out of my love, and what I'm doing out of just financial reasons, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find that balance between all those.
So you would consider fighting in other styles, even though, you know, your heart is in Muay Thai? That is something that would draw you away because of the, and why would that be? It's because of the competition and the fighting aspect?
Yeah, well, yeah, I would say at the core, it's just a matter of, you know, if I'm not getting to fight, I'd rather do another kind of fighting. So at least I'm fighting. So that's to start with. And then, you know, there's elements of just trying something new, just really just for fun, not just because I want to do it. But at the same time, nowadays, though, I'm like, I don't want to start over doing, like, I wouldn't go to MMA now just to like start over. Like, not to say I wouldn't do a fight, but I'm not going to like all of a sudden start an MMA path now. You know, I never have wanted to anyway, but I definitely wouldn't do it now. But I don't know, you know, things are like, especially with the way the world is now, who knows? You know, I try not to have anything like set in stone, because who knows what's going to happen. I'm always open to things and always stay ready and healthy and training, and try to, you know, just keep myself in a good place. That way I can make the decisions based on that, not based on whether I'm in shape or whether I, you know, need to, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. And how has your fighter preparation changed, you know, since you started as a fighter and a coach to now?
It's definitely gotten a lot more intelligent and smarter. And, you know, there's a reason for everything, where before, and I think you kind of have to do this in the beginning, where it's just, you got to put the reps in, you got to put the time in, you just got to do the work. And as you get more experience and time in, you can become, you can dial it in more and be more specified on what you're doing and why and with who, and more on purpose, as opposed to just the more is better. Like, in the beginning, you just got to do it, you know, but you slowly start to find what elements are more beneficial to your style, to your body type, to your age, to all these things. And those adjust and fluctuate over time. You know, what works for you today is not going to work for you tomorrow. And and all these different, you got to be flexible and fluid with everything because so many things change. And it's not just about hammering the same thing over. There's certain elements for sure, like the foundation is always there, but then how they're applied and the process and what works and what doesn't work. And, you know, it's like you always got to be exploring, yet you don't want to get away from what works at your core and who you are as a person, as a fighter. So that's always that balance you're looking for, is continually trying to develop and progress, but not lose sight of who you are and you know, what elements are beneficial to you.
Yeah, it's kind of adding to you rather than allowing anything to get subtracted. That is, like you say, the foundation. And I think that's a path that's a bit tricky to tread for a lot of people. They kind of, especially these days, tend to get drawn to whatever's kind of shiny and new, and almost disregard the stuff that was actually keeping them successful in the first place. And rather than seeing them as little nice bolt-ons, they become substitutes for that foundation. Interesting. If you could go back and change anything about how you approached your Muay Thai training, what would it be?
That's always a tricky question, because if you change one thing, you change everything. And, you know, it might seem like, well, if I did this smarter back then, but that doesn't necessarily equate to being better. Like the things I did in my career, I would never suggest anybody does ever, because it's, you know, not the smartest thing to do at all, but it's also what got me to where I got to, you know. And I had to do those things, and if I would have done them in a smarter way, you know, I probably wouldn't have done anything, because everything I did was stupid and crazy, and, you know, not the most intelligent way to go about things. But that's kind of the same thing with starting so late too. Wasn't even a choice in my mind. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do it, and, you know, facing and dealing with all those crazy, putting myself in the fire basically is why I got to where I got to, because of that. If I would have done it the safe and smart way, we wouldn't be talking right now, you know. Part of me wishes I would have started earlier, but then again, if I would have started early, I probably would be done about 10 years ago too. So it's always I wouldn't change anything.
There's that cascade, isn't there? And I mean, and you're obviously kind of one of these guys that likes to learn lessons, and it's almost like the stuff that doesn't go right, like you say, the struggles are the things that teach you the biggest lessons. And like, well, you know, if that hadn't happened then like you say, the path would have been different. I wouldn't be valuing what I value now.
I mean, I wish I could have learned a lot of these lessons without having to go through that stuff, but, you know, it's worth it. As long as you learn from it, it's worth it. It's when you don't, that's when it's like a loss. If you learn from it, you're growing and developing. If you lose and didn't learn anything, then you lost twice.
Yeah. That, do you know what? That's something that I've heard you speak about before, and not being too worried about the fight record. It's more about who you're fighting, and how you personally applied yourself to those, not whether the decision was a win or a loss at the end of the day. That it's that kind of growth mindset, isn't it?
Yeah. I try to maintain that. It's like, well, the tricky thing about that is you still want to care, but you need to know that you can still learn and develop through it. So it's not about not caring, you know. It's like definitely care and strive and give it everything that you have, but know the outcome is going to be the outcome, and that's where you have the choice. You know, once the outcome happens, what are you going to do with it then? Because the outcome's over here. We can either progress or we can get stuck here, or even decline from that. That's where you have a choice to make. You know, it's not. I think it can be very easy to look at that in the, like, not caring. You don't care what happens. Like, yeah, I care. I care a lot. I want to be successful. I want to do good. I want to win. I just know that what's going to happen is going to happen. And I have a choice. That's where I have a choice to make. What do I do from that point?
It is that present moment thing, isn't it? And it's ultimately, I mean, flow state, really. You can get into flow and you can execute how you're capable of executing if you're not being too concerned about the future outcome. All you're thinking about is do the absolute best I can right now in this moment, every single shot that I'm throwing or whatever, step by step.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a habit in training as well, isn't it? Rather than just, it comes out in the fight if that's your habit in training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything in training will come out in the fight. That's why it's so important to train properly. You know, a lot of people think they can kind of half-ass training and then all of a sudden fight time, they're going to just turn it on. Like, that's not the case. You know, I think about you, like, the more you can train to perfection, the better, because fight time, you got the fight to deal with, you got people to deal with, you got lights to deal with, you got pressure to deal with. And that's where you see a lot of, there's gym fighters who are really great in the gym. Then you put them on the stage and they're like, they're folding. And then you have people that are like terrible in the gym. And you're like, I don't think you should do this, but yet they can turn it on when it comes fight time. It's ideally you're going to be able to get both of those elements. You can usually tell too, but it's more about an attitude thing. I think it's like the people in the gym that are trying to prove something or show something, more than likely they're going to go out there and they're going to fold, or they'll never even go out there to begin with. You know, it's, just having the, I think having the right mindset towards training, towards fighting, towards everything, you know, that there's a time and a place for all of those things, just when and where and how you're doing it.
It's interesting because I see that as being a difference between intrinsically motivated or extrinsically motivated. And time and time again, that intrinsic motivation, it seems to be the overall winner.
Yeah,
and it's the more robust approach, isn't it? When you're more worried about the external outcome or what other people think of you, then you're wrapped up in that and you can't do your best. And it hurts more when it goes wrong.
Yeah. And, you know, intrinsically, I would say that's the only one that has longevity, because inevitably those outward things are going to happen. You know, you're going to have bad days. You're going to have people that view you a certain way. They're going to have people that say certain things. Though that outward motivation is going to go away eventually. But as long as you have it internally, you'll outlast all those things. You know, it's like, again, it's like the person that wins their first couple of fights easy. Like, yeah, that's great, but you're probably not learning the lessons you need to learn. And then eventually you do lose, and usually those people don't fight anymore. And that's kind of, I was very fortunate to lose my first fight. I got crushed and stopped. And, you know, that I was forced to answer that question, like, do you want to do this anyway? And how badly do you want to do this? And because my first thought was, oh, maybe this isn't for me. You know, I thought, because I up until that point training, I was progressing like super fast. You know, people thought I'd been doing this for years, just after a few months. And so everything seemed to me like I was like skyrocketing, you know, like I'm on the right path. You know, everything's great. I'm killing it. I'm going to go out here. I'm going to crush this dude. And then I'm going to just like skyrocket to the next level. And then I got stopped and I was like, oh man, like maybe I was wrong. You know, maybe this isn't for me. You know, maybe I am too old to do this. Maybe I'm not good enough. And I had to ask all those questions. But then I also realized, are you only going to do this if you win? If you're always going to win, like what's the point? You're not testing yourself at all. And I'm like, no, I love to do this. I want to do this. And I never want that to happen again. So I'm going to bust my ass so it doesn't happen again. And, you know, a lot of the people that were coming up at the same time as me, it was the opposite for them. They won. But they weren't really developing, learning these lessons. And eventually they did lose. And the majority of them never fought again, or maybe fought once or twice and just stopped. You know, so I was very fortunate to have to face that and learn that from day one, basically.
And that was just something that you'd kind of fostered yourself from, I guess, from your life experience up until that point that others just didn't have.
Yeah.
It's a good example, isn't it, of the struggles teaching you things.
Yeah. And I think I learned so many lessons growing up, although I didn't recognize them till later on, just the struggles of life and, kind of growing up the way that I did. I can look back now and recognize how they've applied to my fight career and then this stage in my life, where I see a lot of people that didn't go through that stuff. And, eventually you do have to learn those lessons one way or another. And the later you learn them, the harder it is. So I was, it's unfortunate as it felt at the time as a child to go through like the things I did, now I'm grateful for it, because you have to learn these things one way or another, and rather knock it out of the way way back then and figure that stuff out. It's like, figure it out now whether you want to do this. There's always a good example I use of Hulk Hogan talks about this story when he first wanted to start wrestling when he was a kid. And the day he went to the gym, his trainer snapped his shin in half. He was like, "You want to do this or don't you? If you do, you'll be back. If not, then get out of here. What I'm doing is I'm saving you time. I'm saving you energy. I'm saving all these things. Like, if you really want to do this, you're going to do it anyway, because this is going to happen to you. And the last thing you want is to give your life to this for 5 years. And then once this injury happens, you just wasted 5 years of your life when you could have been doing something else. Like, if you want to do this, you want to do it no matter what happens to you. And the sooner you can answer that question, the less time you're going to waste. And the more intentional you'll be about your focus and your drive and your training and preparation, because you know what can happen to you.
You've had your metal tested, and you know this is like you say, something you want to do, or actually I'll find another game to play that's going to test me at a relevant level for me. We've all got different levels, I guess, we want to test at, and that should be a scaled test, shouldn't it? It should move with you, not be such a big test that it destroys you. But then just a bit beyond what you're comfortable with to keep you growing. And it's finding that,
right.
It's finding that relevant test.
Yeah.
Would you say with your fight career that your kind of sequential fight progress gave you that test in the right order? Did you feel like it was a little bit mismatched? You had some good tests at the right time. Others were perhaps a bit too far. Some were then back a bit easier. How do you feel about that?
I would say the majority of them were too far, but it was also, that for me, it wasn't a question of there wasn't too far. I mean, I think too far would be if you're getting really badly like brain damaged or broken body, it's like just getting beat up or facing somebody that's at an extremely high level. That's not like necessarily detrimental to you, like your health and life. It might suck to get your ass kicked, but I'd say that's where the levels, and I think that's what's kind of unfortunate, because some people it's like their first fight and then they go in there and fight like a high level person, be like, well, I got in there with them. Like, yeah, that's not the same though. Like, just doing it isn't, it's difficult because it can look the same on the outside, but there's still levels to it and progression to it. And like just going in and facing a difficult thing just because you're saying you did it isn't the same as testing yourself and progressing and using that to develop. It's like that egocentric reason to do it. Like, oh, this is hard. I'm just going to do it because I can say that I did it, and that's it. I think it's about what your reason to do it is. Are you doing it just so you can say you did it? If that's it, you should do something else. Do something else. So, I don't know. It's a really a difficult thing to kind of translate to people, because they're like, oh, I'm just doing what you did. I'm fighting really, really hard people. Like, yeah, but like you, like there's levels. There's a progression to it. Like, you know, there's certain, like, it's my first day doing this. I'm not going to go fight Sanchai and think like there's something positive about that, or like, you're not, that's not the same thing. But how do you, like, where do you draw that line? And I don't really know. You can't really say where that is either.
It's interesting that you mentioned Sanchai there, because of course you have fought Sanchai, and when he was in his prime, and you gave him a good fight, you know, so that was one of those, I'm assuming you're thinking this is a big test, but it's certainly one you rose to, wasn't it?
Yeah. And you know, that's, I had so many of those, like I feel like my whole career was elements of that, you know, each time coming up was, you can't fight that guy. Like, why are you fighting? Like, this fight shouldn't happen at all, ever. I had so many fights where that was the conversation going on. Like, this is stupid. Why are they fighting? I don't get it. You know? And for me, it was always like, those are the people that I want to fight. The people that everyone says, there's no reason you guys shouldn't even be in the ring together. That's who I want to be in there with. And I was fortunate that most of my career was that way. You know, I fought these people who on paper, I didn't belong in the ring with, you know? So for me, it was, I'm gonna prove to you, win, lose or draw, that I belong in here. That was, for me, that was always the most important aspect of the fights, more than the win and the loss. And, you know, I think there's part of that that's, you know, where if I was more focused on the win, then maybe I would have won some fights and not fought so crazy and stupid like I did so many times. But, you know, I always wanted to just prove to myself that I belong, like I can be here and I can hang with you. And even if I'm not there now, I'm going to show you that, like, I still belong here and I'm going to get there.
You get respect from them, don't you? That's the thing. You know, it might not have been there before the fight.
Yeah. It can, like, a lot of people think it's like an external motivation about like how people viewed me. But what they don't understand is when I was coming up, I didn't have people telling me what a great thing this was to do. You know, they were like, you're stupid. Why are you doing that? I had more people questioning my motives than thinking like it's positive. Like, I was the one that was like, I'm going to show all these people, and I'm going to show that person that I belong in here, and that this isn't just a demo for you. You know, this isn't going to be a highlight reel for you. I'm gonna make you remember my name.
Yeah. Do you know what? That's one of the things that I've always loved about Muay Thai, was that I always felt like, because it is that full contact, there, even if you don't win, you don't get the judge's decision, you can still have that feeling that opponent is going away from this fight remembering me because it was a hard fight, and there probably is some injury and some sore bits as a result of our exchange. You know, that even even if you don't get the decision, there's a trade in effect as well, isn't there?
Yeah. Like, you're gonna have to pay something for this. That's all I care about. As long as it costs you something, then you're going to remember it.
finally, you know, if there was one piece of advice that you were to give someone to help them to be as great as they can be, what would that be?
Oh, man. The one that goes across everything is just to never give up. You know, that no matter what happens, you got to stay focused on your goals and focused on where you're trying to get. You know, you might need to go around different ways and take different paths, but as long as you're moving, you're going in the right direction. It's when you let these things break you down, that you really are losing, and you can take these losses and be in a better place than you ever were prior, as long as you use them correctly. And whether that's a loss, whether that's a unfortunate circumstance, whether that's just not growing up the right way, and all these elements can be applied. You can use all that, because all these are lessons that can be had, as long as we view them correctly and use them correctly.
It's great. Love it. Thank you, Kevin. I mean, all the best with continuing to, you know, inspire others to kind of push their boundaries a bit and not believe in their own limitations, because that's something that seems to be, you know, spanning through everything that you've done, is just to almost not believe you can do it, but just push and find out where the limits really are and find out rather than prejudge that. Yeah. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Right. So like that, I think that was always a big one. It's like, I'm going to find out, you know, like I can believe that I can't do this. But the only way I'm going to know is if I do it and I give it everything that I have, then at least I know the answer. It might be that you can't do this. That's okay. But I know. I'd rather know than wonder.
You can find out more about Kevin and learn about his latest exploits at The Soul Assassin on Instagram, and check out his website, thesoulassassin.com. You'll find links to these with this episode.
Thanks for listening. If you found this valuable, please like, subscribe, and share with someone else it could help too. Please give the podcast a review or comment below. We'd love to hear from you. As always, you can visit heatrick.com for more Muay Thai performance podcasts, videos, articles, and guides. Catch you next time.